Lord for what we are learning. I believe it's an important season that we are in, and no matter how strong the temptation may be to you, I want you to try so that we follow, okay, so that what we are doing will not pass us by. Hallelujah. Yeah, so hallelujah. All right. So, praying for the brethren, isn't it? Oh, that's what you are looking at today. Okay. I know that many things have been taught concerning prayer, and I can safely assume that today is not the first time you are hearing about prayer. Or today is your first time. Albert, is today your first time? Who hasn't heard of prayer before? Like, you've not heard of prayer before in this your life. Put up your hand. So that, okay, so everyone has heard of prayer before. Okay. So, I'm just going to say a few things about prayer. Especially praying for the brethren. Hallelujah. So that we'll be convinced enough. See, we are coming from a background where we have assumed that whatever God wants to do, he will do it no matter what. Hallelujah. And because of that, we have not appreciated why we should pray. Why we should pray one for the other. We have not appreciated it. Okay. But having learned of the fact that there is a faculty in man called the will, and therefore, because of the exercise of this free will, whatever God wants to do does not necessarily reach a man. Then we realize that there is more to the things that God does. And if God is really telling us that we should pray one for the other, then there is a reason to it. Hallelujah. Yeah, there's a reason to it. And today, I want us to look at it well, so that we also know that the prayers that we are making, it is really working. I don't know if you have prayed for someone before, but we have prayed for someone before. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the truth is that the moment I got up from praying for the person, I saw the change. I saw it. And the interesting thing is that I saw the change to the extent that I felt the change in my heart whilst I prayed for the person. Hallelujah. And that is where we ought to understand prayer from. Prayer is not just uttering words. Jesus said that when you pray, do not pray like the heathen or the Gentiles do, who think that they will be heard by their plenty words. So prayer is beyond the uttering of words. Hallelujah. Yeah, prayer is beyond the uttering of words. It is like everyone in this place knows, it is the application of one's heart to God and the internal exercise of love. I know that this definition sounds impressive, but I do not want you to be caught in how impressive it sounds, okay? Because it is really the case. Prayer is the application of one's heart to God. It means that if this is God, and this is your heart, before or as you are praying, what is happening is that you are bending your heart. Please pay attention. As you are praying, what is happening is that you are bending your heart to apply your heart to God. And we know that what pertains to our heart speaks of our will, isn't it? So we can say therefore that prayer is the bending of our will to the will of God. It means that God has a will. Hallelujah. God has a will. And prayer is your will being bent. You are bending your will so that your will becomes one with the will of God. We can therefore say that God has his will towards you. Prayer concerning your life is the bending of your own will, which is a wayward will. Hallelujah. It is the bending of your own will, which is a wayward will, to the will of God for you, which is the correct will. That is why prayer is a process. It is not you saying something and sitting there. It is an internal process that results in you having bended your will to the will of God. Hallelujah. In other words, many of the times when we start praying, we know it is where we begin from, but that is not the point at which we started praying. It's not where we end. The point at which we started praying is the knowledge that God has something to do about this matter. But the end of the praying is the conformity of our will, our desires, our intents, that it may be one with the will of God. When we achieve that, we become priests of God. When we achieve that, we become priests of God. Who is the priest? The priest is like a conduit or a pipe that channels what is of God into the things that belong to men. In other words, you connect like the pipe so that the pipe, the water can flow through you to man. Hallelujah. And the man could as well also be yourself. Okay, so that is who a priest is. A priest is the one, is like a mediator, the one who takes of what is divine and brings it into the realm of men. Hallelujah. And the only way by which a person becomes a priest is when the person is bended towards the divine. And that is how Jesus became the mediator. The answer for this course, he is the mediator of the New Testament. He became the mediator of the New Testament because he submitted his whole self to that of the divine which was in him. Hallelujah. And through that, he became the means by which the divine which was in him could reach man. That is how Jesus is the mediator. Hallelujah. That is how Jesus is the intercessor. The intercessor is also the mediator. And that is how we also become intercessors one to another. Now, your being an intercessor does not necessarily happen when you begin the prayer. The fact that you are uttering words does not necessarily make you an intercessor. It is what happens to you in the prayer, the bending of your will to the will of God for that person, that makes you now a pipe by which the power of God is channeled towards that person. If that bending of your will does not happen, the power of God, it does not reach the person. It does not just happen just because you started praying. It involves the bending of your soul. That's how come you cannot pray for a person and not love the person. Actually, the bending of your heart to the will of God for the person is the downloading of the will of God into your will, that you may will his will. And the will of God is his love, is his good intention towards the person. So when you pray effectively for people, you love the people as God loves them. Hallelujah. So actually, the way to bring ourselves to love people in the way God loves them is to pray for them. That's what it means by the application of one's heart to God. The application of one's heart to God. Our heart standing there alone is not applied to God. Hallelujah. Yeah. In prayer, we get to apply our hearts to God. And our heart speaks of our will, what belongs to our love. It means that we get to bend our hearts that it may follow after the heart of God. And in praying for people, what we do is that we get to bend our hearts that it may follow after the heart of God for the people. When we do that, like John said in 1 John chapter 5, we obtain life for the person. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll look at that. So, you must know that prayer is the application of one's heart to God. If your heart is not applied to God, or if the process does not involve the application of your heart to God, it is not prayer. That's how come many of us pray in a very shallow way. It is not prayer. Standing somewhere and cursing someone at some corner, it is no prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Actually, it is prayer in the opposite sense, what Mani calls it, psychic prayer. It is prayer derived from self. Hallelujah. Because then it is not directed towards God. If it is not directed towards God, then the source of the influence is from yourself. Hallelujah. And therefore, what is backing it would therefore be love for self and love for the world. That is the prayer that devils, or that is the influence that devils exert on people. You know, devils also exert influence. Oh, or you don't know? Oh. Devils also exert influence. And the influence is when flesh is the source of the desire that they have towards a person. So a lot of the prayers that people pray is not prayer. It is witchcraft. I'm not trying to be funny. It's the truth. When I say this and it appears funny and you laugh, many of the times you don't retain it as truth. You retain it as a funny thing. It's the case. Those prayers, actually, that is what constitutes witchcraft. It is just like putting a candle there and chanting over the candle towards a person. Astral projection. It is witchcraft. A lot of the prayers that are being prayed against people, against the boss who must give you promotion, against Ubian, all those things, it is astral projection. It is witchcraft. Hallelujah. Please, are you here at all? Yeah, it is pure witchcraft. Prayer is directed towards God. Hallelujah. 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 Prayer is directed towards God. And it is the application of our hearts to God. It is the application of our hearts to God. It is so simple. It means then that prayer is not just a simple thing. It is not simplistic. It is not shallow. It is not a carnal thing or a fleshly thing. No, it's a highly spiritual thing. Well, if I kneel down to pray for you, and I am full of, for example, as a man of God, as I'm coming to preach to you, I pray for you. Okay. Now, if in my prayer for you, I am full of love for myself, in the sense that I desire that the message will go well so that you appreciate me in a certain way. Now, that is not prayer. I'm not praying to God. Hallelujah. Because then I am not applying my heart. My heart is still stayed on myself. I'm not applying my heart to God. Hallelujah. So, in truly applying my heart to God, then I must desire for you what God desires for you, because it is the good will of God for you, and not I'm not in the picture. The reason why I'm in the picture is because of the good will of God for you. Now, in that, the Bible calls it the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous. There's a reason why the person is called the righteous, because that is a righteous prayer. That is a righteous prayer. In other words, we can be righteous or unrighteous in our praying. And it is the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man. The man who is righteous in the praying that availeth much. It maketh tremendous power available. So James also talks about praying amiss. Ye ask and ye do not receive, because you ask that you may consume it upon your lust. Hallelujah. It means that it is asking without the will of the person bended towards the will of God, or to fall in line with the will of God. That is to pray that you may consume it upon your lust. So it means you are praying with a certain will, but that will is not the will of God. It is called lust. And James said that you do not receive answers. Hallelujah. It means then that actually, before we can effectively pray for people, we must consider the praying itself as a process. And we must realize that when we begin praying for them, we are not at our perfect, in the perfect state. It is actually in the process of the praying that we get to a certain state of perfection, so far as applying our will to the will of God is concerned. Do you understand that? That is why long prayers are necessary. Long prayers are not necessary because in it we get to impress God. It is because of the ones or we who are praying that it takes time and it takes a period in prayer to actually bend our wills to God. That when we begin in prayer, many times we are somewhere and we are uttering things and realize that there is no spirit or there is no spiritual feeling to what we are doing. And it takes time to come to the place of submission. for God to help us to calm our wills down, that we may get to a place where our wills are dormant, and it is the will of God that reigns. That is when we are actually applied to the will of God. That is what the time taken in prayer does. It is not just because when you spend a long time in prayer, then you are a papa. Hallelujah. That's how come many people spend a long time in prayer, but they are not affected by the prayer, because they have no appreciation of this internal exercise that prayer is. The only thing that prayer is the utterance of plenty words. Hallelujah. Or to speak in tongues for a long time. And many of you, you realize that some of the praying, even in tongues, it goes as far as your mouth. Hallelujah. It is just stuck in your mouth. You just utter. By the time when you are done, the only effect that has been created is the pains that you feel in your jaws after you've spoken in tongues for a long time. That is no prayer. You see, that when you speak in tongues, it doesn't mean you've prayed. Hallelujah. Because it is just like when you have done a good work. It doesn't mean that it is from the Lord, except that the motive or the heart was applied to God in doing it. You understand that? When you have done a good work, it does not necessarily mean it is, because that good work could be a hypocritical work done. The only reason why it is a good work is that the heart that did it was applied to God when it was done. It means that you can, for tongues, as you've spoken in tongues for a long time, you can remember it. You can remember Sankaya, Babala, Masoko, Yakaya, Badabaya. As I'm saying, it doesn't mean I'm really praying. Hallelujah. Just as you say me, but it doesn't mean you are coming. At times you are sitting down as you said it. Hallelujah. So as you've spoken in tongues for a long time, you can speak things, but it doesn't mean you are really praying. Some of you think that when you are speaking in tongues, you are praying. Actually, I've come to realize that many of the time we should take our time, and that at times we should not even begin praying with speaking in tongues. I know that you are coming from the background of tongue speaking. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. So when you even, it is good to begin praying with speaking in tongues. I've also come to realize that our heart can be so far off that when we begin speaking in tongues, when we begin praying by speaking in tongues, we still maintain the farness, the distance of our hearts from God as we utter the tongues. We do that. Hallelujah. But one of the ways to bring your heart close to God is to try to speak meaningfully to God. You realize that as you try it, you realize that you actually get to feel how far your heart is as you are praying. Hallelujah. Yeah, but many of the time when we hide how far our heart is from God by speaking in tongues, we maintain that distance, but we keep speaking. Hallelujah. Yeah, tongues coming out of your mouth does not mean that your heart is applied to God, because your heart deals with intentions. If you can speak in tongues with your heart intending or pursuing after God, you get a good result. That's when the tongues stop coming from just the region of your mouth. You realize that it is like a wellspring. It's like a welling up from within. It is because you are speaking in tongues with a heart intended after God. Many of us think when we speak in tongues, our hearts don't matter. Our hearts do. Hallelujah. Actually, it is just like any action. It is not an action empty of life, because it stems forth from our hearts. So tongue speaking also can be made to be a living activity when it springs forth from the heart. And what springs forth from the heart belongs to what is our desires or the will. Okay, that's what our heart is, the will. And when we speak in tongues from there, from our heart being applied to God, then the tongue speaking is something. Other than that, it's nothing. Hallelujah. Yeah, and I've seen that firsthand. I've been with many people. I was a prayer secretary, so I've been in many prayer environments. And I realized that what is referred to as the spirit is actually an emotional euphoria. That is not spiritual emotion, but a carnal emotion. So we can say it is a carnal emotional euphoria that is felt all around when a lot of praying has been done by such people. That praying, because it is not praying at all, does not change the man. And so you will not find carnal people as amongst praying people, prayer warriors. A lot of them are carnal. A lot of them are unbridled in their behavior. And they can just insult you and speak anyhow and are full of pride. It means that the prayer didn't change them. And we can therefore say it was no praying at all. Hallelujah. Please, you understand that? Yeah, so having laid that foundation, then you know that answers to prayer belongs to those who possess the holy intent of God's will. I wrote this down because God told me specifically, so take it. Answers to prayer belongs to those who possess the holy intent of God's will. 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. Answered prayer belongs to those who possess the holy intent of God's will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It means that as we are going to pray for our brethren, what we must desire in the course of prayer, in the process of prayer, what we must desire is that we possess the holy intent of God for the brethren. It is not that when we heard it, well, it's a good thing for the brethren that you begin to pray. No, to possess it means that it has been rooted in you and therefore it has become yours. In other words, what we desire in prayer is that our will becomes the holy intent of God for the brethren. So there is no carnal desire or selfish desire in the prayer. And you know, many other times when you pray, you begin from a selfish point. And if you continue further in the prayer, your desire will be purged to the point where it becomes holy, the desire of God. And your prayer acquires power for the brother to the intent that intention is purged. So let's say if your intention for the brother is purged 50%, and 50% of it is your carnal intentions as you are praying, when you stop there, what happens is that the totality of what you could have gained for the brother is halved. That's how come you can pray and you generate a certain influence, you see it, that it has been generated, but along the way, the influence wanes on the brother. So you realize that the brother started taking the steps that you had prayed for in prayer, but it could not go further. If our wheels can be bent totally, I keep saying bent and bended, take one, hallelujah. If your wheels can be bended totally, hallelujah, totally, according to the will of God for the brother, the change will happen totally. It is as though then the change you are looking for in the brother must happen in you for the brother before it can fully happen in the brother or sister. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? I'm showing you what true prayer is. So I will stop this joke of praying that belongs to the charismatic people. A lot of noise making, but without substance. Kayaba, kayaba. Well, I remember one time I went to a child, a brother of mine, and there was this man. He's always sitting under a tree. Then as we had to him, ba 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 ba. Then you choke. Hallelujah. Look, I've come to the conclusion that a lot of the praying done by charismatic people is no praying at all. When I say charismatic, I'm talking about those who call themselves the charismatic people. Actually, those who have separated themselves from the orthodox people. You see, Ghana here, we have two main groups, the charismatics and the orthodox. The orthodox is the Roman Catholic where we went to for the wedding. Hallelujah. Then the Methodist people, the Presbyterians, and then who else? Anglican, and probably AME Zion. Hallelujah. Those are orthodox. Then we have the charismatic. The charismatics, the names are plenty. Resurrection, life, something, something. Abandoned, something, something. Living word and miracle, something. All these fall into the... Look, that I'm not trying to despise it. I'm just trying to let you know that many of the charismatics don't... Normally, the names vary, but you can know them because they call themselves charismatic. Hallelujah. So, Action Chapel, Lighthouse, my personal favorite. Hallelujah. Yeah, I mean, Lighthouse is my favorite church, other than Christ Academy. Hallelujah. Yeah, I really love Lighthouse. So, Lighthouse falling down. I'm just telling you so that you know that I'm not despising any church. Because if Lighthouse is my favorite church, then you can't tell me I'm despising charismatic people. Okay. But I've noticed that the charismatics separate themselves from the orthodox because they believe that they carry the new wine. But I've examined the wine that the charismatics carry. Many of them, let me say not all. Just like, you see, in the orthodox people, among the orthodox people, you find many who are also genuinely after God. Do you understand? So in that sense, you can also find many who are genuinely after God in the charismatics. But a lot of the charismatic people, what they call the new wine, it's no new wine. It is actually the same version of the people or the same version of the spirit possessed by the dead orthodox people. It's the same thing. All of them is steeped in the same thing. Idolatry. The orthodox man is a calm idol. The charismatic man is a very wild and distant idol. That's all. That's all. That's the difference. You mean that the idolatry of the Orthodox Church is calm and quiet. It's exercised in a quiet spirit. So that the Orthodox man likes to speak in a very calm way because he thinks that it is in the calmness of the speaking that there is power. And the charismatic man wants to speak shouting because he thinks that it is in the shouting of the speaking that there is power. Do you understand? So all of us, we are wrong. Just that my wrong is in quietness and your wrong is in a lot of noise. That's all. Hallelujah. Please understand. Yeah, so at times, don't be quick to judge people. Take your time. If you take your time, you will learn one or two things. And rather your judgment will be a more refined one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So my point is that many of the praying that people who call themselves charismatics do, a lot of it is chaff. A lot of it is chaff. And the chaffness is not necessarily with the fact that they shouted. Just like the chaffness belonging to the orthodox people, it's not necessarily the fact that they were quiet. But the chaffness is in how their hearts are far away from God when the prayer is being done. That's what turns the praying into a chaff praying. Hallelujah. Please, does it make sense to you? Yeah. I really want you to be people, real, really deep people, not shallow. The Orthodox people actually say that the charismatics are shallow. Also, you see. So the Orthodox people say charismatics are shallow. But the truth also is that the Orthodox people, they are shallow. They misconstrue their quietness to be depth of religion. Okay, saying that they're charismatic people because they are loud, then they are shallow. So it's like everybody thinks the other is shallow, but genuinely, really looking at it, all of them are shallow. Hallelujah. Because the depth does not belong to how low or how loud you are, but it belongs to how a heart is applied. So a heart is deep in God to the extent that it is applied to God. Hallelujah. So Paul talked about knowing the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of God. It puts God in the category of measurement. Hallelujah. And we know that measurement has got to do with change of state. We know that, isn't it? Dimension, change of state. Dimension is change of state. So length, breadth, depth, height of God has got to do with the various dimensions or the various states that constitute one God. Hallelujah. So we knowing the length and breadth and height and depth of God has got to do with knowing God in all his varieties. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please, do you understand? Okay, so my point to you is that when you go up and down, and you want to call it prayer because just before you started praying, you mentioned the person's name, Oti. Okay, so Lord, I'm praying for Oti. I bring Oti before you. It does not mean that when you end, you prayed for Oti. No. And that's how many of us are praying. Lord, I pray for Pastor. It does not mean that you've prayed for me. What constitutes the praying is what takes place in your heart. From the point that you say, Lord, I pray for Pastor, to the point that you end. That is what constitutes the prayer. Because if God is going to be released in your prayer, he will be released. The point of contact that you have with God, which belongs to the soul, is actually linked to your will. So we can say that the will is where God comes from.